Church people are strange. I was expecting all of you to be frowning. Yeah, with Tinubu economy, I thought. But you are smiling. I thought, what kind of people are these? Amen. Why has gone? That's why you're. Oh, dear Lord. Amen. It's good to be in church. Welcome to everyone. Welcome to the School of Miracles. Welcome, my dear friend, childhood friend, Father Shagun at the back.
Glory.
So, and when we entered, he said, this is the boys' quarters in Ibadan. So, that's where we were, and he knew that one. So, he said, this is the boys' quarters. So, it has grown, and it is now here. Amen. We thank God for what God has done. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father in heaven, you know that one. How we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people, we declare your mighty words. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be He. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be He. Blessed be the Lord, the Lord God Almighty. Yes, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord. Lord, we exalt you tonight. Thank you because you reign. You reign everywhere. You reign in the affairs of men. You reign in the kingdom of men. You reign in our hearts. You reign everywhere. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you, walking with you. Thank you for the privilege of your word. Thank you for revelation, knowledge that you grant to us. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for everything. Thank you for utterance tonight. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for simplicity. Thank you for opening our eyes to behold wondrous things from your word. And thank you for backing your word with signs and wonders, miracles, and various distributions of the Holy Ghost. Nobody under the sound of my voice whether now or later, whether here or online, can stay the same. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's good to come early, so we're praying from Psalm 111. And one of the things that had occurred to me, you know, was that I realized that clearly, now I know that, again, we're on track. So I'm going to finish what I started last week on the law of sowing and reaping. Amen. You need to hear it now more than ever. Hallelujah. Because the first reaction will be to hold back on certain things, okay? You want to hold back and say, I can't sow because I don't have enough. But that would be an error. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whatever it is that you were doing, if you can't increase it, do what you were doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It would be an error for a farmer to say, I can't plant, you know, because the weather looks rough or whatever. All he has said, therefore, is that I won't reap. You get my point? That's all he has said automatically. So you have to be careful about your reactions. When in Mark chapter 5, Jesus was going to Jairus' house, and they said his daughter was sick near unto death, and on his way he was stopped and delayed by the woman with the issue of blood. And I said delayed because as far as Jairus is concerned, the woman was a nuisance. You understand what I'm talking about? Because he was on the way to heal his own daughter who was dying. And then he stops and he says, who touched me? And then Jairus is looking at the time. Oh God, let's go. The person that touched you has touched you. Abi, let's go. You know. And then the disciples say, in fact, there's a crowd all around you. How can you be asking who touched me? Jairus said, how can you be asking? Are you there? And then the woman came knowing what was done in her and fell and told all that had happened within her. And then by the time he finished hearing testimony and all of that, he turned and they were about to go. And then a message came from Jairus' house. And the message was, trouble not the master anymore. She's dead. Jairus said, you see, the woman don't waste her. You know, just when you read the Bible, think about it in real life terms. You understand? See? If we didn't stop here now, she had touched, she has received, why are we stopping to hear anything? You see what has happened now? And then as he stood there and he's thinking, and then she's dead. Then the next instruction, I always tell people, he gave two instructions to Jairus, which I tell people are absolutely important. He said, fear not. That's the first instruction. So he turned to Jairus. As soon as they gave him the message, he said, fear not. Then he said, the second instruction, only believe. You know, so at times like this, fear not. Can I hear you say, fear not? Then only believe. Please help me pray to somebody. Say, fear not. Only believe. So Psalm 111, we were reading, and verse 5 says that God provides because he will keep his promises, because he keeps his covenant. Okay, so don't allow fear. That's the first step. And then remind yourself that God is the one that provides. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So Genesis chapter 8, that's where we took our text from the last time. And I'll just speak however God leads me to speak, trying to recap a little bit, but trying not to recap so much, so that if you need to catch up, you will need to go back to what I was teaching last week, the first part of this, and this is going to be the concluding part. It's our school of miracles still, so listen closely to me. Amen? What also happens is that when you are teaching the word, don't make the error of thinking that God is constrained in a box, okay? I'm thinking that God has to move in a particular way. There are times when you have to lay hands on people because there are some people that wouldn't. In fact, one of the things I tell people is that even on a healing line, I don't always minister to people the same way. Okay, because there was a blind man whom Jesus spat, made mud, and put on his eyes, and he was healed. There was another one, he didn't spit or make any mud. You understand? So you don't have to spit and make mud and say the way to open blind eyes is spit and make mud. Okay, it doesn't work like that. You have to follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And one of the amazing or most sure things that happens is that when God's word is going forth, something is already happening. First, we know that Luke chapter 1 verse 37 tells us that every word of God is full of living power. Some of the translations, New King James will tell you, with God nothing shall be impossible. There's a translation that says every word of God is full of living power. That sounds like Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that says the word of God is living and powerful. One says living and active. Okay, living and active. It pierces. That means that it reaches every part of you, bone from marrow, spirit from the soul, even divides deep down to the intent of the heart. So it's living and active. Then the book of Corinthians, Paul was writing to them, and he said, when the word of God, no, Hebrews 2 and verse 4, he says, God confirms his word with signs following, with signs, miracles, and various distributions of the Holy Ghost. So when the word is going forth, something happens. There's an impartation that goes with it. Can I have an amen? In Ezekiel said, then I had a voice that spoke to me, and the voice says, stand up. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, the voice says, stand up. He said, then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and stood me up. So the impartation, or you might want to use the word grace, to do or to be able to walk in what is being commanded or spoken of is released the same time that that word is going forth. Hallelujah. Okay, so Genesis chapter 8. You should have found that now. And verse 22. This is God speaking. Or rather, let's read from verse 20 as we did last week. It says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird. As I read that now, I remember that I won quiz, but I didn't get rice. Eh? Yes, on Sunday, I saw Noah and all his animals, and I gave them the orijo for the answer, and there was no rice for me. The Lord will forgive you. Amen. So, which animals did we see on Sunday? Yes, snake. Lion. We didn't see lion. Did we see lion? Yes, we saw lion, actually. Which other one did we see? Eh? We didn't see snail on Sunday. Eh? Snake. We have heard it. So, again, you see, they don't still know the answers. Okay? But it says what? It took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Then he made a pronouncement, verse 22. He said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Some people have said maybe it should have been written as seed, time, and harvest. He said, because that's the problem most of us have. The fact that there is seed, then there's time, then harvest. Because if it was just seed and harvest, then everybody will do it, isn't it? But the mere fact that there is time, can I hear say time? We get into trouble. Isn't it? So we can't wait for harvest. Sometimes we can't link the harvest. Hallelujah. But I gave the background that the heart was all destroyed. And now, having been destroyed, Noah came out and he took of every clean animal. Remember, we saw on Sunday that he said he took how many? Two. Actually, some were seven. Okay, but of every animal, even if you had seven of every animal, the whole earth had been destroyed. There was nothing left. It was very easy for Noah to have been hoarding. Remember where we started tonight, that the first reaction when there is seeming scarcity is that you think to yourself, I need to hold back. Okay? So it's very easy for Noah to have held back, but Noah came out and he took of every single clean animal and offered it to God. So So that was an act of faith. So as he offered it and it burnt, the Bible says God was smelling a soothing aroma. It wasn't quite just the smell. It was the act behind it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It was the act behind it that says to him that I don't care about the scarcity. I trust you. And when he did that, God made a pronouncement and he says, look, you know what? As long as the earth remains, what happened will not happen anymore. Okay? There will always be seed and seeds will always produce harvests. Now, I wanted to show you something just as we start. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. So, because we then realize that, like I said to you, maybe if you are not here and you haven't listened to it, what I'm teaching on is the law of sowing and reaping. I've not even done any financial teaching in a long time. You know, it's the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. My emphasis is on the law. You know, and my emphasis is on the fact that when something is a law, it works. Okay? When something is a law, it works whether you like it or not. Whether you believe in it or not, a law is a law. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that there is a law fundamentally on the earth, which is the law of sowing and reaping. So what had happened here was that that law had had a break. Let's put it that way. Because there was flood on the earth. If the whole place was covered with water, you couldn't sow. You couldn't be planting and be getting a harvest. So there had been a break. And then when Noah did what he did, God says, you know what? There will never be a break again in that law. That law will always function as long as the earth remains. So that's what I wanted to show you, a bit of that background, and see something very specific and important here. Genesis chapter 1, are you there? Look at verse 11. It said, then God said, so this was creation. This was God creating everything. And then the Lord said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Okay, so note that. What does that really mean? It means that he had created, you know, everything. I mean, all the plants, seed, whatever, it's been created. God has pronounced it. Isn't it? Okay, good. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that what? It was good. Now jump to chapter 2. So chapter 2, verse 4. It says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now look at verse 5 critically. He said, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. Why? I thought chapter 1 says something. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, chapter 2 is saying that nothing had grown. Then it says why? It says for, because the word for means because. It said because the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, first reason. And second reason, there was no man to till the ground. Wow. Are you with me? So God had made a pronouncement. But he says nothing was growing because there was no rain and then there was nobody to plant and to cultivate the ground. Are you with me? We always say that the old is a shadow of the new. So again, I was saying something last week about the fact that people talk about you don't need any of those things. We don't need to sow, sowing and reaping and all of that doesn't matter. First, that's why I'm emphasizing to you the law. Okay, the law. That is a law. And then they say 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 that everything about our provision is lays in the fact of redemption. That Jesus Christ was made poor for our sakes, that we through his poverty, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, that we through his poverty might be made rich. So I don't need to do any sowing. And I said, no. You can say that that can make your sowing be more productive. But it doesn't annul the law that exists. Are you following what I'm saying? And we were also saying then, so this is just like it. This is now giving you an example. So Genesis 1 says God had made a pronouncement, God had made a blessing, God had spoken something into being, but he says there was nothing. Why? Because nobody was planting. Hallelujah. Okay, so one of the other things we then pointed out last week was that the law of sowing and reaping is not just about finances. My emphasis was finances and is finances, but it's not just about finances. I was making that point also last week. That it doesn't just apply to that. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 makes it clear. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. A translation says, a man's life consists of what he plants. So whatever a man is going to get is based on the seeds that he sows. So, and that's not talking about money. It goes further even to explain and says, if you sow to the flesh, you will from the flesh reap death. If you sow to the spirit, you reap life. So he wasn't talking about money. But again, he was applying it and saying, don't be deceived. That everything, a man's harvest in life depends entirely on the seeds that he sows. Meaning that everything is about seed sowing law. Are you hear what I'm saying? It's about the law of sowing and reaping. Everything. We saw in John chapter 6, the fact that he talks about, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are those who forgive, for they shall be forgiven. So everything was saying, when you do it, you are going to reap a harvest accordingly. So that law is about everything. Can I hear you say everything? And, I mean, School of Miracles, that law also applies even to your healing, your health, your well-being. The seeds that you sow will determine the health and well-being that you reap. Hallelujah. I mean, I won't take a lot of time talking. I think I've done a teaching on lifestyle before, but we won't talk about that, I mean, tonight. But I'll give you an example. One of the hardest things I've seen is when people say, just like, I mean, he was saying earlier on when we were praying, somebody say, I'm so tired. You know, I don't want to come, or I don't feel well. Then I say, you go for what will make you feel well if you believe that that has the potential or the power to get you well. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, let's see one or two scriptures and then we'll go back to where we are. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forevermore. What I want you to see here is simply the fact that he calls the word of God a seed. That's what I want you to see. The fact that it refers to God's word as a seed. There are many illustrations, and maybe sometime one should do a teaching on that. The many illustrations, or is it illustration, we call them descriptions of God's word, because in that alone you get a revelation. Okay, but here it describes it as a seed. Not only did he call it a seed, he called it an incorruptible seed. Can I hear you say incorruptible seed? Incorruptible seed means that this seed is guaranteed to germinate. Now, one of the things that, you know, modern day technology, they deal with gene editing, they deal with what you call GMOs and all that, and all they are trying to do or to achieve is to achieve seeds that will give you the best results every time. Okay? They're trying to achieve the fact that if I, unlike before, when you can take 5 seeds and you plant them and only 2 will germinate. So what you are trying to achieve is to say, if I give you 5 seeds, all 5 seeds are going to grow. And all 5 seeds will grow and grow well, give you a bountiful harvest that maybe cannot be attacked by a disease that is common to that kind of plant. Okay? So now the word of God is described as an incorruptible seed, meaning that this seed will always bring about results every time that it is rightly planted. Are you following what I'm saying? Every time you plant this seed, it means that every single time you sit, like you are sitting now, and you are listening to God's word, every single time you sit in your house and you are reading God's word, every time you are playing God's word, every time you are reading something about God's word, it's planting an incorruptible seed that will bring about a harvest sometime, someplace, somewhere.
It means something is happening. It's going to bring about a harvest for sure. It means it's not a waste of your time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Something is happening to you. Whether you know it or not, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3 at the end that it talks about the fact that while we behold the glory of God, we are transformed into the same image by the Spirit of God. Now the Amplified expands it. It says while we behold the glory of God in the Word of God, it said we are transformed into the same image. Meaning that every time I'm looking at it and I'm taking in God's word, a transformation is taking place in me. Are you there? How many people have ever sat back before and looked at yourself and said, who was I 1 year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? What has God's word done to you? You understand? What impact? Have you ever sat back and said, hey, so this is me now. Wow, I think I've been changed. Are you hearing me? It's that transforming power of the incorruptible seed. It is producing a harvest. So now go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. So you know, years ago where somebody used to come to fellowship, and somebody said to me, was very active. We had a drama team, and this guy was very active. In fact, I wish he came to see me some years back. He was in Benin. He had moved to Benin and came to Ibadan to see me, and we talked fantastic time of fellowshipping again, but I've lost touch with him again. And he came. So somebody came to see me and said, did you know that this brother, do you know that he smokes? You know? And he was like, look, you need to sanction him and deal with him and all of that. Again, many of these things, you need to deal with them listening to the Holy Ghost. In fact, everything in your life, you need to listen to the Holy Ghost. So he said everything and blah, blah. So I said, well, thank you very much. I said, don't worry, I know what to do. And I said, but don't say a word to anyone and don't bother talking to me about it again. So I looked at this brother. I didn't do anything. I said, you know what? If this guy... Because when you teach like this, you can tell who soaks in the word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In Acts chapter 14, Paul was teaching. And he said he saw a man who was lame. And he saw that he had faith to be healed. So what did he see? He saw the guy soaked the thing. Then he said to him, Jesus makes you whole. And the guy stood up. So I said, don't worry. I said, if this guy, the way he comes, faithfully every Friday then, I said, the way that guy comes, he will change. You know, and I made up my mind I wasn't going to say anything to him. So I didn't say anything. I didn't tell him I knew anything or whatever. I just left him alone. And the guy kept soaking in God's word. And then one day, just like we asked tonight, you have testimony? And the guy raised his hand and came to give testimony. And then he began to say everything himself. And he said, you know, when I was coming here, I was smoking. I was still moving with my friends. I would go to club and all that. I was smiling where I sat. I was just smiling and I was looking at him because I told myself, I know everything this guy is saying. And I know somebody else at least here knows what he's talking about. And the guy said, but one day, he said his friends had called him on a Friday night and said, let's go out. He said, and they came to pick him up. And as they were going, he said he was so troubled in his spirit. He said after a while they got to a place, he had a church. They were doing night vigil in the church. He just told his friend, drop me here now. He said, and he got out of the car and went to church and did night vigil. He said, from that day, I've not gone anywhere with anybody again. And I've stopped all the smoking and drinking. And I began to laugh. Why? The incorruptible seed. Are you with me? Proverbs 4. Have you found that? Proverbs 4 verse 20. He said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. What does that mean? Don't treat it casually. The incorruptible seed. Okay? Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. How do you incline your ear? You know when somebody is saying something you're interested in, you say what? What did you say? You want to hear. You want to hear it well. There's interest. Okay? Incline your ear to my sayings. He said, do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. Meaning what? Repetition. You keep being exposed and you're thinking about it. You keep being exposed to it. Keep them, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? He said, for they are life to those that find them and health to all. Can I hear you say all? Health to all their flesh. In the Hebrew, the word translated health actually means medicine. They are life to those that find them and they are medicine. To all their flesh. Meaning that if you have bone pain, it's medicine. Headache is medicine. Are you hear what I'm saying? You know, how long ago was that? 2 years, 3 years ago? Somebody called me during the week and said, I'm in serious pain, excruciating pain. I can't even walk. I have to be carried and all of that. And he called me on a Sunday morning, actually, and said, this is what has been happening to me all week. I've been more or less bedridden. They carry me and all of that. I'm in serious excruciating pain and all. And, so he said, so please pray for me. I prayed there and I said, well, we'll pray for you in church and all. And then I called him back a few minutes later and I said, if you can, try to make it to church. So we came to church. We had service. He wasn't around. And I had gone to the back, as I usually do towards the end of the service. And we're praying, and then raised the prayer point to pray for him. And if I send a message, say, please pray for this person. And then somebody came and tapped me and said, he's behind you. So he walked in just about then, or they brought him in just about then and put him on the seat behind. And then we finished the prayer, so I talked to him, prayed with him, laid hands on him, and he began to walk, go around. And his friend who had brought him was in shock, at what had happened, that this is the person I carried here that is now running around this place. What's going on here, And the friend was just like, praise God, So when he finished all of that, then I spoke to him. He had a little pain, and the next week, and I said, okay, you go to the hospital, we'll schedule an appointment. So he did go to the hospital, saw the specialist, and they did, tests and all, and said, well, there's a degenerative problem there in the back. But they have money to help. He said he couldn't afford it at the time. So I said, well, you are left with one option. The word. Can I hear you say the word? I said, so that's the only option you have now. And then I gave him a book. I said, you feed on this. Feed on this. Feed on this. Feed on this. And I had to beg him to get my book back. But guess what? He fed on it, and it was perfectly whole. No pain whatsoever anymore. The back was fine. In fact, by the time I said, please give me back my book, he said, no, the thing has helped him so much that he has even made photocopies for people. Hallelujah. Why? He says they are life to those that find them. Remember what we're talking about? The law of sowing and what? And reaping. They are life to those that find them, including this incorruptible seed, and they are what? Medicine to all their flesh. And when you get on a bus in those days, and then they'll sell you medicine, Abby. Then they'll bring it, they say, if you have what? Eh? Lakweke. Which one? Back pain, hemorrhoids, diabetes, hypertension, this drug. Eh? They say this drug. This same drug. We do all of those things. This is the only drug that does it. Are you with me? This is the only one that is medicine to all of their flesh. Can I have an amen? So we have said, so again, that's just to show you that the law of sowing and reaping is not just a financial law. Hallelujah. But basically, it's a law of life. But as long as the earth remains, you sow, you will always reap. So if you're also thinking even of financial miracles, which is my emphasis now, but you'll have to also be walking this law. Can I have an amen? Now, I haven't said all of the things that I said, and I told you that many things I'm not repeating, which you'll have to listen to what I said last week in order to establish the fact that this is a law. There are two things that I wanted to point out, or maybe you can sum it up into one. The issue about the law is that when you know the law and you understand the law, you can use it to your advantage. You understand what I'm saying? And I was giving the example of the law of lift. And I said, I get on a plane all the time, but I don't know the law of lift. Calculate the law of lift, I have no clue. How does it work? I don't know. It still is a wonder to me till tomorrow that the plane will carry many people and be staying there. I don't understand it. But guess what? It works for me because it's a law. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So my ignorance is no excuse. It still flies, even though it's carrying ignorant me. But the person who knows the law, understands that law, is the one that will sit down and say he's an aeronautical engineer. And is the one that they are paying to be designing planes and all of those things because he understands that law and he's able to exploit that law. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? But when you understand the law, then you are able to use it to your advantage. It's still a law. It still works whether you believe it or not, whether you agree with it or not. If you jump up, you will come down, whether you like it or not, whether you agree or not, whether you think that whoever says there's law of gravity was insane, you will still go up and come down. But those that understand it are the ones that are making planes, making helicopters and all of that, because they understand it, they can exploit it to their advantage. Hallelujah. So what do I do with the law of sowing and reaping? Simple. I make sure that I sow. Are you there? I make sure that I sow. Now, also please note that I have not said sow to church. Are you following what I'm saying? Is sowing to church bad? Absolutely not. Absolutely important, critical. But I've not said that. I've just told you that it's a law of sowing and reaping, meaning that all of your outlets of sowing, I've even showed you that it goes beyond even financial, even though I'm emphasizing that in this particular teaching. And therefore, I'm saying to you that all of your giving, you must understand that all of your giving is seed sowing. And you have to expect a harvest. It's insane of a farmer to go and plant, haven't cut off all the grass and the weeds in a place, haven't made all the heaps that he can make, and put all the seed in the ground, and for him to walk away and say, well, and then he say, it's 3 months now, you planted some corn. He say, I don't expect anything. Are you with me? You know, let me even tell you how my mind works. One day I woke up and I was thinking to myself, why do we talk about sowing? I mean, why do we talk about giving in church, okay? And we call it sowing. And I said to myself, I said, God, is it not a scam? Honestly, I'm just telling you, this is the way I think. And I began to think myself, is it not a scam? And I said, God, where is it in the Bible? Oh, we're using this as a scam. You understand? Just so that people give. And then we say, sow and reap. And then he took me back to, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So let's look at that again. I'm just helping you to see, because I was just thinking to myself, this is me, nobody was there, nobody was questioning me. I was just thinking to myself, what is all this about? Abby? It's amazing how sometimes also you read things and you just go over it and go over it and go over it. And what does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6? It says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap what? Bountifully. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So he said it clearly, black and white. But honestly, I woke up with that thought in my mind, where in the world did we get this from? Why did we start saying this thing? Why did we start using it? And then God said, look at 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6 again. Are you still here? So what do I do with this law? I make sure I give. And number one, what do I mean? I make sure I give regularly. If you are a maize farmer and you grew maize in maize season, what does that translate to? You are going to reap. Huh? No harvest at... No, if I... maize season, I plant. How long is that? So after 3 months, I reap. What happens in the 4th month? No harvest. What happens in the 5th month, 6th month, 7th month? So I have to wait till next year. Except I sow something else. But what if it's not the season for something else? So I have to sow something else in something else's season. Are you following my thought? What does that translate to? If I'm going to be reaping all the time, in all the different seasons, I have to be sowing all the time in different seasons. So, if I will maximize the law of sowing and reaping, I have to regularly be sowing. Are you following what I'm saying? I can't be sowing. In fact, you know, what really had been on my mind, like I said last week, was the fact that I see people who avoid sowing. And I couldn't, it just beat me. I mean, it just beat me because I think to myself, people expect to be blessed, they expect to have a harvest, but they avoid sowing by all means. If it's in church, when it's time to give an offering, they go to the toilet. They have a phone call that they must go and take by all means, and they return when it's over. You know, and they just dodge it by all means, and then they think and they say, look, how come? How come I don't seem to have? Because you are not putting seed in the ground. I'm not saying that God hasn't blessed you and all of that. I'm not saying that it's not part of the, what do you call it, redemptive benefits. It is. But I'm saying you are not exploiting a law that also exists. Are you following me? Okay, let's look at a few scriptures. So you say, well, he's just telling us what it feels like. Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11. I should be trying to wrap up now. Ecclesiastes 11. I read from verse 1. It said, cast your bread upon the waters, for you'll find it after many days. Give a 7 to 7 and also to 8. For you do not know what evil will be on the earth. Okay, so you don't know what the future holds. He said, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. What does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, put this science. You know, you can't say science students. It means something. You know, it's amazing because today somebody was talking about the song, the science students. So I said, what's the problem? We'd been a science student. And he said, no, he's talking about drugs. That science student, he has mixed, he knows how to mix all kinds of drugs. I said, now, wow. I thought, science student, what's the problem? He said, this one, that science student. I said, what's the problem? Okay, so if you did science, it says what? If the clouds are full, then they empty themselves. So we talk about what? Evaporation and renation. So what is that? As long as it keeps soaking up, I mean, you keep the clouds keep soaking up the water in the soil, then the clouds will get full. And when it gets full, it's going to pour. Okay, so what he's saying is that as long as your clouds get full, there has to be a pouring. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That there is a point at which there will have to be a harvest, so to speak. Okay? And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow. Okay, so we're reading all of this for context and clarity. It says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Sounds familiar. So what's he talking about? The fact that your sowing should not be based on the environment. Okay, if you keep allowing the environment to dictate to you all of the time, then you will not sow. That's what he's saying. He says, and if that's the case, you will not reap also. And as you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Verse 6, so what's the instruction? So what do I do? He said, in the morning sow your seed. In the evening do not withhold your hand. So again, what we just talked about. you know, every season. Keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. He said, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So do it all the time. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. And I'm making a deliberate effort to ensure that we're reading all of these things so that you have a good grounding. And of course, this is a midweek service, so you are supposed to be well grounded. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 16. What just happened to my Bible? 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay aside something, or lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. What was Paul saying? He was saying, just have a system. Develop a system of putting something aside that you are going to give. Don't wait for me to come, and then we start saying, offering time, blessing time. Somebody needs this, somebody needs that. He said, don't wait for all of that. He said, just make a plan of how you are going to be giving. Make a plan and say, this is what I'm going to give to this, this is what I'm giving to that, this is what I'm giving to people who need help, this is what I'm... Just make a plan and be systematic about it and make sure that you are always doing it. Hallelujah. You know, it's the same way. Let me just try to close. The same way when people get and start getting confused about tithes, and I tell them, look, don't get confused about any such thing. You know, tithing should be seen as giving. Full stop. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, that's giving. If you read Malachi, the most popular scripture on it, when God talks about you have robbed me, and then as people will emphasize about tithe and all that, I said, no, he didn't say tithe. He said, you have robbed me. How did you rob me? He said, in tithe and offering. So both of them go together. They're in the same category. You understand what I'm saying? So God said, the robbing me is that you didn't give. Full stop. So I tell people, look, if you look at it, view it as tithing, just like Galatians chapter 3 talks about. He said the law was given. Any law that you see was given so that people will manage to do some of the right things that they are supposed to do. But when Christ came, you were expected to know to do the right thing without a law. I want to tell you. Hallelujah. So then what did Christ say? He didn't talk about tithe. He talked about what? Luke 14. 33. He said, if you follow me, you give all. So he expects that the giving should be your lifestyle. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So remember what we said is a law. That law works for everything. All of our lives. It's about seed sowing and reaping. I've become more consistent with my French lessons. So my French is better. Because I sow the seed. I mean, at least 5 minutes a day, thereabout. But my French is better because I'm more consistent. When I wasn't sowing the seed, you understand what I'm saying? It applies. It's just a law. It's a law you must keep in mind concerning everything you do, but also especially with your finances. Ask yourself, how do I give? When do I give? How much am I giving? Because the farmer who's planting 10 seeds is different from the one planting 100. So ask yourself, what am I doing? Of course, Paul was saying, as God has blessed you, in what we saw in 1 Corinthians 16, he was saying, do it according to your level. Say to yourself, at this level, this is what I can be doing, and this is what I will be doing. But exploit the law. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Let's begin to pray in the spirit a little bit. Begin to pray in the spirit a little bit. Lege la basta. Just give him thanks for the word. Also make up your mind. You know, so in fact, I tell people that tithe is where you start from. That's where you start from. So you don't know about giving and all of that. Start and discipline yourself just with the tithe. That for me is a starter. Just tell yourself, okay, I'm going to start with 10%. If I was telling somebody, I said, you know, before I started 10%, and even that 10%, I used to split it over the 4 Sundays of the month. So But I will take that tithe and I will split it. So it will go through the four Sundays. That was my giving. I said, but I got to the place where I said, okay, no, that's that tithe now. I give it one Sunday. The rest, I will give offering alone. I'll just find something else to give. Then I told myself, you can do better than that now. And then I set a target. This is what my minimum offering is. And then that, I keep changing. And then sometimes something is happening. They say, there's a project. I say, this is my target. We've been doing this thing now. And I set a target. I was asking Pastor BJ the other day. I said, please, when you have the time, help me put together everything I've given. I said, it's going to be a lot of work. Because you will see some 1,000 naira. You will see 500 naira. You will see. So you will see very small. You will see very big. I said, please, it's going to be a lot of work. I said, but I have a target. And I want to see how close I am to my target. Because I want to ensure I meet that target. Is there somebody you've been having a muscle pull kind of thing? You've been having something with your muscles. As if the muscles, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like the muscles, you have some issues with your muscle. Of course, pain, it's painful, but it's like a muscular problem. It's a muscular problem. It's not a joint thing. It's the muscle. It's the muscle the best I could use to describe it was like a muscle pull. But you have it, it's very painful, and it's quite regular and frequent. Anybody like that? Did you hear what I said? Or you're just looking and wondering, what's he saying? What's he saying? Somebody who's had an issue with your muscles. With your muscles. Mangledos to procosto fredish to brahande. Legos to prohondo sofredish to brahade procobos to verdi. Anybody else you need a healing here tonight? Yes, please come. Sorry, is that? That's not the muscle. It's your leg. Waist. Okay? Down the leg. All the way down. Okay? Yes. Just be praying. Be praying the spirit. Be praying the spirit. Lebo kroposo relish to brahande so kroposo reli. Legos to brando so fredish to brahande. Le broko mondo so kroboso bradish to brahande so kroboso. Yala dosa braka mando so kroboso. Yego los to brahande. Sorry, my dosa, you don't pray. Don't pray. God's power is so strong here already. So strong here already. It's so strong here already. I feel that power so strong here already. Lege dosh to brahande. Please bring your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, so strong. Let that power go all the way down our legs, Lord. Let it fix everything that needs to be fixed. Command every bone, every muscle, every tendon to sit right, act right, be right. By the power of God. Yeah, that's it. Strong on you. Yes, come stronger and stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger and stronger. Labor globoso belish nabrahane. Stronger and stronger and stronger. Just lay her down gently. Stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. We're like praying for eyes. It's like you wonder. Sometimes you see double. Double vision. Double vision. Not blood, but double vision. It's like you see it's double vision. Just wipes. It clears, but you've had double vision, unlike before. But you think something happened to your eyes, and you think that you've been having double vision. I want to pray for you quickly, 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 quickly. Double vision. Legele brado sofredile brahande. Legele bosto prohondo sofredish to brahande. Leboro Batusa Fradishta Brande Leged Oshta Brahande. Thank you for your mighty touch. Mighty touch. Those eyes, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, wow. Glory to God. Lebo to Bosto Brando Sopro Costo Felide. Bracamando Sofredisto Brahane. Lebro Coboro do Sofredisto Brando Sopro Boso Felide. Brande Lebeke. Lebo Soprano Stofredi. Le boko boso felushta brano sofredishta bahane. Lege dodoso prakamanane stefeledishta brahando sofredishta bahata. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you what to do. You wonder and say, yeah, what? This is not the plan. This is not what you thought will happen. You know I'm talking to you. This is not what you know or you thought will happen. And you think, what are we going to do now? You know, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do next? The Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom. And there's a gift called the Word of Wisdom, which basically means He gives direction, speaks to the future. He shows God's purpose. He shows God's direction, God's intention. And He will grant you an insight. You will know what to do. Part time, you will know what to do. Absolutely no confusion. Absolutely no fear. No fear, no confusion. But you will know. It says, as you go, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You will hear a voice saying, what? This is the way. Walk ye in it. Yeah. Yeah. Just you to Him. You to Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. That's Him. It's coming all over you and overwhelming you. But His peace, His goodness, His glory, yeah, flowing out of you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just you to Him and yeah, like a mighty rushing wind. Yeah, let the joy bubble forth. Yeah. Like a spirit, Holy Ghost. Yeah. Let Him have His way. Let Him have His way. Just yield and let Him have His way. Let Him have His way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Osta Brahane, Sofradishta Brahane, Arakakala Bahashta, Arakabashandala Bahashta Brahane, Sokroboso, help mommy out, God spies on her, help her out, God spies still on her, Legled Osta Brahane, Sokrobosto Vredishta Brahane, Legededeshta Brahamando, Sokrobosto Vredishta Brahane, Sokrobosto Vredishta Brahasta Brahasta, move the leg, man. Was there pain when you came? How is that now? It's gone. Or it's reduced. Gone. It's better. Jesus, I think, when was that? John 8, laid hands on a blind man. And the man said, I see men as trees. So he laid hands on him again. And then he saw clearly.
The God's power is coming on you all over again. All over again. Thank you, Lord. Perfect wholeness. 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 Perfect wholeness. Yep, yep, yep. Perfect wholeness. Legled Oshta Brahande Sokra Oshta Vali, the Brakamando Sokra Oso.
And worthy, O Lord, you receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all.
Take a moment and just ask him tonight. Open your hearts to him and ask him. Say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I want this. Touch me like only you can. I keep sensing somebody's meant a closed door this week, but I see like a swinging door. So it's like a door that closed, but it's, you know, because it has a spring, it swings open again. Swings open again. So whatever that was, major disappointment, it will open up again. opens up again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Job 8, he said he will not leave you until he fills your mouth with laughter. He will not forsake the righteous until he fills your mouth with laughter. So allow that joy of the Lord to bubble forth. Allow that joy of the Lord to rise from within you. It's not over till it's over. Try to hold it back in. Don't try to bottle it up. Just express that joy. Holy Spirit, let it rise and bubble forth a hundredfold. Said out of your belly shall flow. It means you can't stop it. It flows. It flows. It flows. It flows. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Is our strength, which is our strength, breaks every sorrow, every bitterness, every fear, every anxiety. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Some of you just wake up laughing. You just wake up laughing. Because there's an oil of joy. There's an oil of joy. I was speaking in Ibadan and I preached on the oil of joy. And a young lady came out and gave me testimony. And talked about the fact that she had something with her leg. But it was, I don't know how to explain it. Said it was, she just was afraid she would lose her leg. Very young lady. And I had to ask the pastor, say, what's she talking about? He said, yes, that is a very real thing, though, that they've been dealing with it for a while. But the oil of joy just broke it in a moment. And she was crying as she was testifying that the fear and all that left. I honestly struggled to understand it. But he said, no, and I could tell from the tears that it's a real thing, that the deliverance was real. But physically, I can't see anything wrong with the leg. Give God praise tonight. Give him praise tonight. Thank him for his word. Thank him for the move of his spirit. Thank him for his tangible presence. Thank him because you'll never be the same again. Once has he spoken, twice have I heard that power belongs to the Lord. There are things that will keep coming back to you. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will teach you all things and he will bring to your remembrance the things I've said to you. Some things will just keep replaying, keep replaying. Why? Because God is putting his finger on that. That is a seed that is going to germinate in your life. And you've almost allowed fear to grab a hold of you. God has been good. God has been faithful, but you felt fearful and you felt, are things going to be continued this way? Are things going to keep working? Will I get to my goal? Am I sure? Even now with everything that's happening, am I sure? And God says, he is the faithful God. Yeah, he's a faithful God. So don't allow fear. Fear has no room. Keep acting like God is your partner. Keep acting like he is with you, because he is. He said, behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. If you looked back, as he would say, and you look at the things that have been,
You couldn't quite have figured out that you'll be where you are now. But you are. You can't quite say that it's because you are so smart. But you are. So trust him. He is the one leading you, and you have to rely upon him to keep doing so. You have to keep doing the things he has taught you to do, and doing them faithfully. Faithfully means you do them as he expects you to do them, when he expects you to do them. And don't ever do anything out of fear, or not do anything because of fear. Never let fear paralyze you. Never, ever. Lord, we rebuke that spirit of fear, because he has not been given the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Thank you, Most High. Thank you, Most High. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory. Okay, anybody just wants hands laid on them? I was going to close, but I felt I will do that in a minute. Anybody just want hands laid on you before we close? And I have to do that quickly. I was going to close, but I felt God strike me and say, no, I do this quickly, and I will. I do my best to obey him as best as I believe that he leads. Father, thank you for your mighty hand. Mighty hand. Rest upon him. Oh, even now. Legled Oshta Brahande, Sopro Goshta Brahande. Yeah, that's coming strong on you already. Coming strong. Yeah. Yeah, the heaviness of God. That's what it's called. The glory of God is the heaviness. The heaviness. The heaviness of God. The heaviness of God. That's why people can't stand. Somebody say, why do they fall? Because the word for glory is heaviness. Thank you. Ooh. So heavy and strong. So heavy and strong. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or imagine. Father, we give you praise tonight. Thank you. Thank you even for everyone online. Thank you for you release your power even upon them as they desire. Thank you for healings, miracles, signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and glory, Lord. In Jesus' name.